From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, June 4th. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna cheese, chawa, tuxknusum, slama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You may also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Today, we welcome back our special guest host for this week, Rochelle Smallwood. Today, Rochelle talks with renowned artist Jennifer Younger, who is opening a new show at On Hit on Friday called Return to Our Roots, which celebrates the revitalization and continuation of Tlingit spruce root weaving traditions from Yakutat into the present and future. Later this hour, we'll chat with comedians Sam Miller and Mike Glazer, who will be playing a sold-out show this evening at Devil's Club. Those conversations are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. But first, I just want to take a look at Celebration. It kicked off last night with Grand Entrance at Centennial Hall, and today began the dance and cultural performances over at the hall. You can catch those pretty much today, tomorrow, Saturday. It's just going to be going on all the different groups from around the state, Canada, and I think we have a group from New Zealand this year. Hawaii is here, so get over there, check it out. Also, the Native Artist Market at the Sealaska Plaza kicked off today. The Juried Art Show is over at the Sobolev Building. Plus, there's workshops and classes, Baby Reeds pop-up, and just so much more. You can find the full schedule for Sealaska Celebration on their Facebook page, or you can go to bit.ly/cele2026-program. Cele2026-program. It's a shorter link than you'll find anywhere else, but it's still a little difficult there. Capital CELE2026-program. That'll give you the full layout for everything going on. One thing that didn't make it into the program is a very cool thing happening tomorrow night. It's the House of Rock concert. It's going to be at the Sealaska Heritage Clan House, Shukahit. It's a showcase of Indigenous artists that are creating music outside of traditional music. Future songwriting and recording workshops will be led with these artists at the Science Building within the next year. And the lineup includes some awesome folks: Air Jazz, Two Essentials, Jalen Martin, DJ Time Immemorial, one of my favorite names I think that I've seen there, and then Scratch Kwan also is on the list. So that's tomorrow, Friday, June 5th, from 6:15 to 8 p.m. over there at Shukahit at the Sealaska Clan House. So check that out as well. So much good stuff going on. And we're going to get right to the interview with Jennifer Younger with guest host Rochelle Smallwood. But first, I want to play just a little bit of a preview of Rochelle's upcoming visual / music collaborative project called On the Boat. This is a song called Both Sides of the Loom. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Warp and weft, weaving on the other side, both sides of the loom, what we left, story shifts and faces unravel, you guide my spirit.
for being here with us today. I'm so excited to be interviewing Jennifer Younger. We've joked about having a podcast over the years, so this is a taste of what it could be. Jennifer is an amazing artist, collaborator, friend, uplifter, visionary, and I'm so excited to be here today for her to share about her upcoming project honoring her mom and students' work, and I'm so excited for you to see it tomorrow. Jennifer, would you be able to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the show?
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Jennifer Younger. My Tlingit name is Kahkahawulga, and I am Eagle Brown Bear, and my grandmother came from Klukwan. And I'm super excited about this show, Intertwined, Returning to Our Roots. I really wanted to honor my mom. She's been spruce root weaving, and I just really wanted to honor the revitalization of that in Yakutat and share these younger artists, upcoming weavers, you know, who are so excited about learning, and I wanted just to share my Yakutat family.
Aww. The first time I met your mom, I think, was maybe in 2018. She was doing the Shadokuch hats where she was weaving under Dolores Churchill.
Yes.
And recreating some hats in the exhibit. And it was my second day of an art internship at Sea Alaska Heritage, and we rolled up behind security to the airport, and she was, we were down on the ground getting roots and got to go burn them, and I fell in love with your mom. She's
wow.
Such a sweetheart, and she got to share that special process and got to see her work continue on until completion, and we were Zooming over the pandemic later on too as the project continued and making it work. But she's such a special lady, and it's so sweet that you're honoring her, you know, while she's still with us, and it feels like that's not always the case, and it's really great that you are sharing all the incredible work she's done to teach in the revitalization she's done, and what a special lady who raised such a special lady.
Who's you're so kind.
And the roots continue with your daughter as well and your children. It's really, guys are returning to your roots in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, I remember when we first got connected, we were Instagram friends. And then I was wanting to do a project kind of showcasing artists, Indigenous artists working in mediums that weren't always practiced back in the day by that gender. And I remember you're thinking about, well, maybe you would be in the photo since you're a carver, and there's not too many woman carvers out there these days. And now you're carving a totem pole, and you're also juggling exhibitions, fashion shows, everything. Can you tell me, how do you juggle it all?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. It's just, I feel like, for number one, though, I didn't realize that you knew my mom from that when she was doing that studying with Dolores. So that's awesome. I didn't realize, you know, kind of what your how you first connected with her. But I do, you know, juggling different things like this. I do have a lot of people that ask, like, oh, why are you doing this? Like, I literally could stay home and like make jewelry and, you know, sell that. But to me, I remember when I first started like going from like a 9-to-5 office job and then starting to get into wanting to do something with, you know, connected to my Tlingit heritage and then doing art full time. I was like, it's like go big or go home or go global. And I don't know why exactly that came to mind when I first started. And it's kind of evolved in my mind into the farther I can reach, like doing fashion shows or sharing this exhibit that shares the work of other artists, it's just really trying to draw people in from around the world to see that in Southeast Alaska, we have so many amazing Tlingit artists, you know, and so that's my drive, is to like inspire the next generation and see that they can do amazing things here, but it, they can also do amazing things to share with the world, you know?
Oh, wow. I got a visual of like going spruce root harvesting with your mom, and you uncover all these different roots mm-hmm. in those root systems. It's almost like your different art forms or different root systems, and it's like whoever finds that, you know, root to uncover, and that that path might take them on somewhere else. And you also mentioned working a 9-to-5. Could you tell me how you transitioned to doing full-time art and what that journey was to take the leap?
I've always been, well, I've always been into art, you know, even as a kid. And that's probably because we didn't have electricity and we didn't have TV or distractions like that. So my mom always put like crafts or crayons or, you know, something in front of us like that. And so we're always like busy with our hands. And you know, even like through high school, I loved my art classes, and everything else I took like the easiest classes possible, but I would focus on my art classes. And then when I graduated from high school, at that time, it was always said, oh, artist is a starving artist, right? So I was like, how would I make a living? How can I? It just didn't seem like it was a possible thing. And I just kind of jumped into the workforce, and I moved to Sitka and worked at the IHS, you know, at Search for quite a few years. And then I was home with a couple little kids. And I initially just want, as I got older and felt this disconnect from not knowing my grandmother's story and her Tlingit heritage, I wanted to do something that was related to that, because I felt like I wanted to bridge that gap so that it wasn't completely lost on my children. So I had this small grant, and I was able to, you know, Nick Glannon, he agreed to work with me for this mentorship program. It was only supposed to be a couple of weeks, but he's so gracious. He's like, once an apprentice, always an apprentice, and he's always been like super encouraging and helpful. But actually, prior to that, I started spruce root weaving with Terry Rothkar and my mom. So that was the first kind of thing I did with art, and it didn't exactly capture me at the time. And so I got into the metal work, and I was working part-time somewhere, and it was kind of like I either have to go all in or, you know, like, what am I going to do? And I just decided to jump in, and here we are, I guess.
Yeah, and it's so cool to get a glimpse at the exhibit and seeing your collaborations mm-hmm. with your mom, as well as how you intertwine your metalwork and your weaving. And could you tell me about how you first thought to meld those together?
Well, for me, I guess when I originally would think of spruce root weaving, I think of these old baskets in a museum or baskets on a shelf, right? And it's like, it was kind of a dying art form. And I'm totally obsessed with engraving and metalwork. And I love the endless possibilities when you have an idea, right, of just like, you know, making something. And I started, you know, doing the engraving, and I thought, how can I shine a light on this other art form with my, you know, audience? And so if I could make like a necklace or earrings or something with engraved spruce root basket patterns, and then in weaving in actual spruce roots to wearable art, it could draw people in to that art form, and maybe they would go a little deeper and discover weavers and discover, you know, these patterns. And I don't know, I just get excited about stuff like that. Like, I love to collaborate, especially with, different artists that maybe aren't as known as much, and how can I shine a light and get them some attention? And it's just special to me, like, to do that.
Oh, yes. You created the show as well, and it's so wonderful to see all the different people that you've pulled in to create a collective, and it's so streamlined and you have such a clear vision. How did the curation process go for you?
Well, you are a huge part of that. So for those of you who don't know, which is probably a lot of people, Rochelle and I, you and I have done, you know, you've come to Sitka and done photo shoots, and we've had fun kind of playing around and sharing those things on social media. And, you know, the vision we had of someday manifesting a photo shoot in Yakutat with the contemporary jewelry pieces that incorporate spruce root. That vision came to life last year. We were so fortunate to have Zia Noise Cat. It just all fell into place so randomly and perfectly. So we have your amazing photos in the exhibit. But once, you know, I saw those photos, I was like, these are so special and they're so beautiful. We need to do something special with these. And I also just really wanted to honor my mom for kind of revitalizing and getting the next generation excited about weaving. And then, you know, to have you and then Carly Jackson at Clinkett and Haida just really be such a great support in making this happen for Celebration. Yeah, I'm super excited for everybody to see it.
I'm so excited too. It's such a treat. You have to go. We also are going to have live musicians serenading us at the exhibit. It's 5 to 7 tomorrow at On Hit, and Quentin Woolman Morgan and Ashley Young will be singing, and Ashley Young has roots in Yakutat as well. So it's so cool to see how everything is connected and intertwined and meant mm-hmm. to be everyone yeah. at the right place at the right time. It's, yeah, really, really special.
And I'll give a little shout out and list the names. Noea, Austin Tagaban, he's from here in Juneau, well, here in Juneau, right?
He just moved,
but is he from here, right?
He's from here.
And then yourself, we have your photos, we have work from Noea, and then the Yakutat students of Jenny's are Karina Bell, Janie Jensen, and Joshua James, and then Joshua's wife also did a few pieces with him, so it's going to be like a nice little variety, and I just really wanted it to feel very gallery-esque, and I think that we've achieved that, right?
Oh, I would say so. If you come out dressed to the nines, just it will be an experience. It feels like you're in a big city. You guys are doing an amazing job. Carly and Jennifer have been tirelessly working to make it look like perfection. It's so intentional and gorgeous. Mm-hmm. What are you most excited about for tomorrow?
I'm not so sure. I feel kind of like airheaded and like, what am I doing? I'm just like up there trying to do finishing touches, but I'm kind of going in circles, just kind of looking at everything. Like, it's just real. I've never curated a show. I've never done something like this before. And it's just so awesome to have a vision and see it come to life, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yes.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
Oh, yes. That is true. I think you're so well organized from your 9 to 5, and I think it carries over into your artistry and keeping everyone together and organized, and I think you might have a curation bone in your body that is like, wow, it's visionary. Before we wrap up, I was curious if you have any advice for artists who are like on the cusp and they feel like they need to do something big with their life and they're not sure, like how do they answer that call?
Oh boy, that's a good question. And actually someone, maybe it was Carly. Carly was talking about, I think, a nephew who just was interest, you know, like kind of dabbling in just getting into doing form line or something, or maybe it was pricing or something, and it's like, there's no handbook, right? Like, it's really hard to know how to price things or where do I start. It's a big leap. And I feel like if someone's on the cusp, they really just have to make that decision to either do it, go all in, because I feel like there's a lot of people who, you know, are kind of like on the edge and doing a little bit here and there, but this all comes, I tell you, I work tirelessly, and I mean, I don't like to talk about myself, but I work long hours, but it's because I love it. You know, it's not because, I don't know, it's just I love doing it, and you have to put in the work. This isn't easy. You know that as an artist yourself, right? Like, you just have to be dedicated and put in the time and make connections. Reach out. Reach out to me. I'm happy to help anybody with answer any questions. So, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yes. Your Tlingit name roughly translates as to, like, the giver of gifts at a Kuik. And yep. You're one of the most generous people I know with your time, your knowledge, and your beautiful artistry you share with the world. So just an honor to have you in my life, and just to be here in real time witnessing the monumental work you're doing and taking those baskets out of the museum, metaphorically speaking, and having, like, living wearable art, and they get to see the world, and it's living art.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Gunesh Cheech, for being here. You're all listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. I'm Rochelle Smallwood, and I'm talking with artist Jennifer Younger.
Gunesh Cheech, that's so amazing. Thank you so much, Rochelle. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for being here today. It was a pleasure to have you both in the studio. I just want to pop in one more reminder for the show tomorrow, Friday, June 5th, from 5 to 7 p.m. It's at 219 South Franklin. That is On Hit. If you haven't been to the On Hit space before, it's fantastic.
It is, yeah.
And you can see all of this curated art, plus all of the things that Jennifer and Rochelle have done. So, Gunesh Cheech, for you both being here today. What a pleasure. What a pleasure to have you in the studio. And so you did mention, Rochelle, that Quentin and Ashley will be there tomorrow playing some music, and they're also collaborating with you on the project that I mentioned at the top of the show that you have going on the boat. And so I thought maybe we'd play a little teaser of Ashley and Quentin playing some songs that they've done for you. And can't wait to have you back on to talk about that project, Rochelle, when it's closer to release. But this is a really cool tune right here. This is called Morning Storm. And don't forget that before they're going to be playing it on Hit tomorrow for the opening of Return to Our Roots, they'll be here on Juno Afternoon to play for us live tomorrow at the top of the show. So that'll be really fun. Thank you so much, Rochelle. Thank you, Jennifer. Really appreciate you both being here. Gunesh Cheech, this is Morning Storm.
Waking up to the morning storm. Support from Hanson Gress, seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
I'm Karina Cook, and I serve on the K2 Board of Directors. When public media lost federal funding this year, the road ahead was uncertain. We still have real work ahead to secure K2's future. But today, we want to pause and celebrate what you made possible. Your support kept our journalists at work and community voices on the air, and we are so grateful. Thank you for making K2's work possible.
This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. Now we're going to listen to this week's Our Living Lands from Native Voice One right here on KTOO.
This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Jill Freitas. Nea Land Aparico is Greenlandic Inuk and the author of a new children's book, Seasons by the Lake. Our Living Lands producer, Daniel Spalding, spoke to her about the book, environmental changes in the Arctic, and the importance of Indigenous representation in children's literature.
Your book, Seasons by the Lake, takes readers through the changing seasons in Greenland through the eyes of Inuit children. Why was it important for you to show Greenland as more than just snow and ice, and instead as a place full of seasonal change, family life, and culture?
Thank you for having me, first of all. Well, I feel like there's maybe an idea that Greenland is seen as mono-seasonal, maybe that it's a cold place, that it's just winter throughout the year, and that maybe that would be inhibiting for children going outdoors. What I wanted to show is that there we have distinct seasons, and they're very, very much appreciated. Children are out in the nature and, you know, engage with nature throughout the season, even during the long, dark winters.
And, you know, our show, Our Living Lands, here often explores the relationship with Indigenous communities have with the environment. In what ways do the land and water and seasonal cycles shape daily life and identity for Inuit families in Greenland?
It does in so many ways, and that's such a great question. And I think the closest, like, to the core of the question would be that our word for sila, the Inuit word for sila, which is also the word in the Canadian Inuits and Alaskan Inuit, Inupiaq uses, our word for the outdoors, the external environment is sila, which also for us means the mind, the human mind or human well-being. How is your work? Like, how are you doing? How, like, it's representing of our well-being as well, of our mind's well-being. So those two things in a way are, what can you say, they're the same, which says a lot about how close we are to the nature and our external environment, that mind is also called the outdoors. So it's just very, very in tune to the changes in nature and appreciating those short months of summer where we are able to be out and gather.
You know, climate change is rapidly impacting Arctic communities. Did environmental changes happening in Greenland influence the way you wrote Seasons by the Lake?
I think what I wanted to show mostly is that how we are dependent on the nature and how we are adapting to nature all the time. And in Greenland, just like in the rest of the Arctic, we're very dependent on imported goods for food. So we do a lot of supplementing our foods and resources with traditional ways of life, like hunting for mammals, sea mammals. So that is being affected because the seasons are getting much shorter. Hunting seasons are shorter and the sea ice is a lot smaller.
And I kind of wanted to switch gears into a little bit about representation in children's literature and how, you know, powerful that could be for Indigenous youth. What does it mean to you to create stories where Inuit children can see themselves and their culture and homelands being, you know, reflected authentically?
I think it has a huge influence on the well-being to see a child. If you don't see yourself in the media, you will feel like an outsider. And just, you know, we know that less than 3% of books, children's books, are written by and about Indigenous peoples. So it's so important for all of us who write for children that we give that authenticity, not just for the children, Indigenous children themselves, but also to educate others. We're not stuck in the, you know, old days. We are moving and progressing as well in indigenous communities, just like everywhere else. But also we still honor our traditions. It doesn't mean that we have abandoned our traditional ways of life.
And you know, many indigenous communities around the world are working to preserve, you know, language and storytelling and traditional knowledge for future generations. What role do you think books like Seasons by the Lake can play in keeping those connections strong for the young generation?
Oh, it will play a huge role. It definitely will show what, you know, the words, the terminologies and words we're using for our nature, for our environment is there. So these have a lot of knowledge, just words that are created over the development, the relationship. It's just full of knowledge and wisdom. And the world needs that right now.
Tune in next week for more stories about how climate change affects tribal communities. I'm Jill Freitas for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Jack Laughs is the Juno Arts and Humanities Council's commitment to bringing comics and more to Juno for a good time. Tonight, Jack Laughs presents Sam Miller and Mike Glazier at the Devil's Club. The show is sold out, but you can probably wait at the door and grab a seat when someone doesn't show, I would assume. I have in the studio now, I have Zach Pease, who is the producer of Jack Laughs and the special events coordinator over there at the Jack. Zach, how are you today, buddy?
I'm good, Boston. How are you?
I'm excellent. I feel pretty good today. Celebration is in full swing. I'm ready to watch some dancing, maybe some comedy. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a ticket for this, but then also in the studio now we have Sam Miller, Gwyneth Cheese. Welcome in, Sam.
What's up, Boston?
I love it. Thank you so much for coming in.
It'd be really funny if you were from, like, Cleveland.
You know how many people I've met from Boston? My name is even spelled that way. It's B-O-S-T-I-N, but I've met so many people from Boston, especially when I lived in Los Angeles. A lot of East Coasters end up in the West Coast.
I like Boston, but I was a bouncer for a long time, and when I was working at the bar, if I heard somebody with a Boston accent, I always got nervous.
You got a little nervous. And they're tough. They're tough, man.
Yeah.
They're tough, and I was also a Yankees fan, so that really confused people. So that was like when I'd have my hat on. Yeah, it was kind of nuts. But so the show sold out tonight, and I was thinking about this because earlier today when I heard that it was sold out, I was like, oh, is it kind of like when a tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it? Like if a comedy is sold out, does that mean it's funny automatically?
It's easier. I like rocking in front of like a sold out crowd. It's a lot funner. The energy's good.
What's the least amount of people you've ever played to, Sam?
Oh, geez. I did a room that fits 300 people and there's four people in there.
Four people?
Yeah, one of them was a mean cowboy and he didn't like me.
Did he heckle you the whole time?
No, every time I told a joke, he just put his head down and I just see this cowboy hat rotating.
Like a dad just disapproving.
Yeah, it was awful, man. Yeah, the Tulalip Casino, man. It was
oh,
rough,
man, four people. Oh, well, you're going to have a lot more than that. How many does the Devil's Club hold, Zach?
It depends on how you build out the layout because it's pretty flexible downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So we have it set to be 120 in there.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So it'll be nice and sweaty in there. That's always good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. So, Zach, tell me a little bit. I think you were here last year, Sam. Was it last year?
Yeah.
And that was like the was that the first Jack Laughs that you did?
That was the very first one, and I wanted to do more. And this is the second one, and then we have another one coming up in September.
Okay.
And I'm working on putting a few more together beyond that.
And what's the idea behind it? How did this sort of series come about?
I love comedy. I did comedy for a while when I was living down south. And I hosted an open mic up here for a little over a year at Devil's Club. And I was like, well, you know, I'm in this position now where I can bring comedy to town.
Yeah.
So why not try and why not see what I can do? And then it really came to fruition because I just hit up Sam on Instagram. And was like, hey,
I look at it kind of like a Make-A-Wish kind of situation with Zach.
Like, it is kind of like that with
He's
Zach.
Like,
yeah.
He was really sad. He was like, I really like comedy.
I was like,
I don't know, man. I got a lot of offers in like New York and stuff. But I was like, all right.
Come to my town and play. Yeah. That would be so nice.
Yeah, he was like, it's Devil's Club. And I'm like the plant?
Yeah, yeah, pretty
like,
much.
All right, man.
That's cool. And so, but Mike Glazier, who's also on the bill tonight, is not, hasn't been here before.
Yeah, Mike.
No, he's been to Juno before.
Oh, he's been to Juno.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Wait, no, he hasn't been to Juno. He was in Ketchikan. So we did a show last night in Ketchikan. That was my first time in Ketchikan, but it was Mike's second time. This is his first time in Juno and my second time. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
then
I just want to shout out these folks on the, on. I guess they call it the undercard. So can you tell me about
Solid Comics, same folks as last time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell
nice,
me who,
cool
tell
Juno
me these
scene.
People.
Yeah, Carrie and Nick, both super talented. Nick was in L.A. doing comedy for a while and moved home and was at the comedy open mic every week performing and always had a solid set. And Carrie wasn't ever there as often, but every time she showed up, she's just a killer.
Yeah. She was really funny last time.
Yeah, she is so funny and will bait and switch you really well and you don't see what's coming and then all of a sudden you get hit over the head with a hilarious punchline. Yeah, they're both incredibly talented.
And the show's tonight at 7. It's 21 plus. As I mentioned, it is sold out, but you can maybe show up. And if people don't show, are you going to sell some tickets at the door if you got space? Or
yeah, maybe if we have space. I'm going to suss it out and see where we're at. I can't make any promises. I'm not going to make any promises on air just in case somebody shows up.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Says,
you take a chance and you show
could,
up.
Yeah, you can maybe take a chance and see what happens. And if it works out, it works out. And if it doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of other cool stuff happening tonight.
I love that.
Yeah, you can just stare straight up and let rain hit your eyeballs.
That's it's always true.
Nice. Yeah, I want to say something too. I made a joke or whatever, but working with Zach has been like a real joy. And also coming up to Alaska, especially to do comedy, the art that I love, is an absolute joy too.
Well, it's Zach's been back for a couple years now, and it's just fantastic to have him back in town. He grew up here, but he's a great producer and does all kinds of cool stuff in town. So it's really great that
yeah, his vibes are pretty immaculate. I really like hanging out with him. We laugh at the same stuff.
That's good.
Yeah, they had that place where they do oysters and champagne.
Oh yeah, over there at the food court.
And I thought about they should have a Sam special where you sandwich where you just do. What is it? Oyster champagne oyster.
Oh, yeah. Sure,
sandwich.
That's great.
That sounds good.
So, Sam, what's it like being a comedian?
If you didn't know, we were talking. I did a radio interview at a country station one time, and a guy came in and he was like, what's it like being a comedian?
Because he had never interviewed anybody before.
Never interviewed anybody before. Well, you know, it's funny. I will answer it, man. It's like, it's beautiful. It really is, and I'm really lucky, and I work very hard on, like, my social media. I don't find a lot of joy in that work, but I am very grateful that it's allowed me to have a career. So,
well, that's what I was going to talk about because, like, when we grew up, I mean, I'm assuming I'm a little bit older than you, but like we didn't have all this rigmarole. We didn't have all the social media and the YouTubes and all that stuff. And comics would really just travel around, do the circuit, right?
Yep.
Play the small clubs. And hopefully they'd get seen by, a scout or something and then get maybe a show or something.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I mean, I was just reading an article about this. These movies that have come out, Backrooms and
Obsession. Yeah, I went and saw that with my kids. Yeah,
yeah, and it's like these are YouTube guys who are now getting picked up by
Hollywood. You got to do it yourself. Yeah.
You got to do it yourself. And so that's more what I'm curious about is how is it managing all
you
that
You know, if you
want
to know, it's funny. I don't think I've ever said this publicly before, but like I'm a marketer. Like, that's what I am. And then I've also happened to be really good at stand-up comedy. And,
right.
And And that, unfortunately, or fortunately, because the nice thing about it is that, like, I don't have to, like, I'm very respectful and I work a lot of comedy clubs.
Yeah.
But, like, I kind of have, like, more skin in the game now. Like, it used to be the clubs would break the comedians. The clubs would get it so people come out and see the comedians.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's more that the comedians get it so people come out to the clubs.
You right, see because, saying? Yeah, I totally get that.
So there's a dynamic, and the dynamics have shifted. And some of that is the clubs. I think when social media started, the clubs are kind of so set in their ways. They're yeah. like, oh, this is whatever, this social media stuff.
Right.
But the comedians immediately saw the opportunity, you know. And then what happened is, and especially like on Instagram and TikTok, like the reels, like the mm-hmm. one-minute videos.
Mm-hmm.
And it became like a real legitimate way. And that's what I did. I actually caught the tail end of it. If I would have started earlier, I'd probably be like a lot further along. But I've gone from, you know, I think 2 years ago I probably had 8,000 Instagram followers, and now I have like 100,000 something.
Whoa.
You know? And then, and it's awesome because it allows me to do the part of this job that's beautiful is the part that I get to do tonight. And that's where I get to do comedy with my friends, and I get to hang out with people like Zach.
Yeah.
Like, we've gotten to be kind of close. We talk on the phone sometimes and stuff nice. Like that. He's pretty dope. But like, I have people, I have like, not exactly Zach.
You have a Zach in every port, right?
Yeah. yeah. Sort of, though. But, like, yeah. I've been pretty much everywhere in the country. I think there's, like, maybe three or four states I haven't performed in, like Delaware and North Dakota and a couple other spots, and that's about
so
it.
So are you doing still, like, the, you know, what comics used to do, which is, like, you know, 200 nights a year out on the thing? Or how does it work
these days? 200, maybe. Well, I figure I do on average probably 3 or 4 shows a week.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll be, I'll do 12 shows every night. Like, I'll do a show every night for like 12 days or something.
You know? Oh, wow.
Like, yeah. Every once in a while if I'm going on like a big tour like that. But I got a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old. And my number one priority, I'm in recovery. So I've been sober 18 years this month. And like,
wow, congrats.
My number one priority is my recovery because, like, if I don't do that, then nothing else works.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's family, and then it's community, and then it's comedy. But what's weird is that I support my family with comedy. Like, all that stuff's tied in together. It's not none of that stuff exists on an island. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm assuming that the comedy encompasses all of those things.
Indeed,
sort of
indeed.
The humor about recovery and
For sure.
Having like, teenagers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the comedy that I'm looking at right now is the strange juxtaposition of like someone like me who, I lived outside. I lived in barn lofts. I lived in abandoned buildings. I lived in cars. And now being like a middle-class dad, like I have a roof and Netflix, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I pay a lot of my taxes.
Upgrade. it's a come up for you.
By the way, I'm just kidding. Any IRS people, I pay all my taxes.
Well, you know, they're listening to public radio, those government folks.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because when you take something like, you know, recovery, or you take like being a dad and, you know, having teenagers and all that stuff. And I love sort of like, I remember that show that I think like Seinfeld did, and he explained kind of like how he would make jokes. And I think they put like, they put it all on the pavement, and they walked down all of his hard copies of his jokes, and they put it on the street, and he was walking down all of these just sketched out things of, you know, ideas and things that come up. And so when you're thinking about so I want to talk about two pieces. One is the like the shows that you do, like tonight you're going to do like a set, right? Mm-hmm. Like a set of shows. But then I'm also curious about when you are having to make content, are you taking it directly from your sets, or are you doing other kinds of bits as well?
So generally when I'm making content online, I'm taking a 1 hour set of mine that was recorded with good audio or whatever, and then I chop that down into anywhere from 10 seconds to minute and a half sections.
Sure, okay.
And I try to disperse that out and try to sit on some material so people can be surprised at shows.
Right, right, right. Are you doing the thing where you create new material and you're adding it all the time, or you take a set and you tour?
Yeah,
around
I'm pretty. You know what's weird is like it's not all the time, but like I'm pretty. like I said, the part of this job that doesn't suck is being on stage performing stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my job to be funny. It's not my job to necessarily tell the jokes that I wanted to tell that night. like last night in Ketchikan, it was funny because the cruise ships, you know, is such a huge part of
sure.
like this community too, you know, and like just because I was walking around Ketchikan all day yesterday and like watching the locals mix with mm-hmm. and like how it all happens and mm-hmm. then like. And then it was crazy because then the cruise ships were gone and there's like, I was like, because I was talking last night, it's like, it's got to be like jarring to be in Ketchikan and like, you can't walk down your street at like noon, but then like, by like 7 p.m. you can
it's
just.
Like a ghost town.
Yeah, you can just do cartwheels and like, you don't have to worry about bumping into anybody.
There are certain people, and maybe some who are in this room even, but like we both work downtown, Zach and I, but there's only a certain, you know, sometimes I won't actually get further than KTOO to go downtown. Like, I don't go down during, especially when I see coming across the bridge from Douglas, like, four or five boats in that day, I'm probably not going downtown, right? I mean, a lot of folks are going out and seeing the whales and doing the stuff, so mm-hmm. it can be possible. But then there's also exceptions, like this week for Celebration, which on top of the tourists brings in a ton of people from indigenous folks from all over Southeast Alaska, Canada.
I saw some cats from Washington State.
Yeah,
like there's some because I know a lot of the cats from the tribes out there.
Yeah,
too.
We have people from Hawaii here this time. We have people from New Zealand. Yeah. Like, it's a huge week, so it's pretty awesome to. And I will be downtown for sure this weekend. But I'm just curious. Like, so when you're going back to like creating the joke, right? Like,
sort of
when you're taking something, are you keeping a journal or are you finding humor in like everyday situations and just making notes or how do you work it?
Yeah, I have a notes app in my phone.
Nice.
And you know, I can always look in there and there's stuff that's more dialed in, some stuff that I can't talk about. Well, here's one.
Yeah, we're on the air.
I was in Tennessee 3 weeks ago
and
there was I like going to farmer's market and swap meets and just wasting time because I don't like to spend too much money, you know. I go to this, especially you can get some really good deals at those Tennessee swap meets.
I bet.
There was a church having a bake sale, and they had this bag of like brownies.
Yeah.
No, not brownies. They had a bag of donuts, chocolate donuts.
Okay.
Right? And I was like, oh man, chocolate donuts. Like,
I'm in.
9 a.m. It's donut hour, you know. And I get back in my awful rental car, and I'm like, hey, at least I got these donuts. And then I took a bite, and I realized that they were circle brownies, that they weren't donuts at all. They were brownies baked in a circle. And then I really – then I started thinking. I was like, man, like, you guys are from a church, and you're, like, and you're lying about brownies. Like, I'm not an enemy. I'm agnostic. I don't know if there's a God or not, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't look down on anybody. You know, that's – I have lots of friends that are religious, lots of friends that aren't.
But brownie's not a donut.
Yeah, it's like that's a mess, you know?
Yeah.
Like if Jesus, he turns water into wine, but then he told everybody it was whiskey, you know, that'd be the end of Christianity right there. Like, how are you going to have a church and tell me? And they were obviously brownies. Like, they were just brownies baked in a circle.
That's so funny.
And you know what's funny is I don't think that'll ever make it to stage, but it did make it on the public radio here in beautiful
But that's the thing, though, right? Like, sometimes you have to write it all down because sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't, right?
Yeah.
You got to try it out in front of a crowd or, you know, try it out on public radio and see how it goes over.
The other one I was working on is I had this joke about, like, I was like, you ever cry so hard you fart? and then it's kind of funny, and then you're like,
And then you laugh more.
There's nothing there either.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, I you know, it's funny if you look at it like I have maybe like 10 ideas,
mm-hmm.
and then 7 of them are good, but only like 2 of them work on stage.
Right.
Like that's the thing with comedy that's funny is when you get good at it, the thing that actually makes you good at comedy isn't how great of the stuff that you write. I think what really sets good comics apart is how willing we are to get rid of stuff.
Mm.
Like, I'm not that attached to any joke. Like, sometimes I'll write a joke and then I'll add this other little part. And it turns out that little part is funnier than the whole rest of the joke. And I'll just get rid of
the rest
of the joke.
Yeah. You know? And then start from there. Yeah. Figure out what that is. Do your kids have any interest in doing comedy?
No. My youngest likes to go on tour with me.
Yeah.
But my oldest, he's like 15. He's got like a girlfriend now, and he's like too cool for school.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be with dad on the road.
No. But my you know what's funny though is like he's kind of come back around, like because. It depends, like, because both my kids like different stuff, so, like, I have to tailor. But the thing is that right now, that's the elephant in the room about comedy right now, is that costs have gone up so much, especially in the last 2 months.
That you mean, like, gas and stuff?
Gas, plane tickets is my big issue right now.
So, really? So just getting anywhere is so pricey.
Yeah, and my margins were, like, pretty thin. Like, I'm able to make a middle-class income doing comedy, and I'm so grateful for that. So for the last 6 years, comedy has been my full-time job. And I've been on a gradual kind of, like, way up. But the thing is that I'm not making that much more money than I did my first year. But I'm going farther and doing bigger shows because I'm reinvesting that. So it's like, oh, okay, so I just made another $500 more at this show, which means that I'm going to fly to Florida instead of, you know what I mean?
Right, like,
And right now what I've had to do over the last, like, couple months is kind of...
Just not feed the kids.
Yeah. Well, I've pulled back. I'm kind of doing, like, my career is kind of like where it was about a year ago. But what's cool is that I'm fine with where my career was at a year ago.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I do these runs, man. You know, if we were doing comedy in Alaska, I'll be honest, like, Alaska's special. But if I had to compare it to anywhere, it reminds me a lot of doing comedy in Montana. You know, like,
why so?
Like, just isolated spots, yeah. You know? Like, yeah. It's like... You know, doing comedy in like Butte, it's like the next big town is like an hour and a half away, you know?
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Probably more isolated here. But.
Well, it's so great that Zach and the Jack Laughs and all that stuff are bringing comics to Juneau because, like you said, I mean, costs are rising for us to get out to go to some place like Seattle and go to a comic store or go to a, you know, Laugh Factory or something like that down in Seattle. It would be pretty pricey just to be able to do that. I mean, and that's what's great about, like, the YouTube shorts and stuff like that and the Instagram, the TikTok and all that. You can kind of keep up with your favorite comedians, get a little laugh here and there. I'm curious, do you make any money off of that, the shorts and stuff?
Yeah, well, yeah. I make money off of my Facebook page.
Okay.
But I feel really conflicted about social media as a whole. I think it's very human to be really conflicted about, like, what social media is doing to us.
And it feels like it is swinging back a little bit. Like, it feels like people are getting off of it or, like, oh, I take a break or whatever that is. So
yeah, I think it's really hard on people. I think it's this idea that, like, it used to be you had to, like, guess what your neighbors think about stuff. And now it's like 10 a.m.
Oh, my God.
You're supposed to be sending an email, but you're just scrolling Instagram.
You're just, yeah.
It's like, oh, like, Deborah thinks the earth is flat. All right. I have friends of mine that are, like, flat earthers, and I don't cut people off unless they do, like, unless they're, like, abusive or, like, hateful. Mm-hmm. I'll cut off those folks, but I got a friend of mine who thinks the earth is flat, and we have conversations. And, like, I don't want to anger him, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, I'll concede, like, a little bit. And I'll be like, maybe it's not as round as
I
think.
Well, Sam, the earth is flat.
I'll see. Here we go.
And birds aren't real.
Yeah.
No, birds are fake.
Birds are totally fake. It's Jack Laughs. It's happening tonight. It's sold out. It's a doubleheader comedy showcase. It's Mike Glazer and Sam Miller. They're going to be providing all the laughs this evening, along with support from some local talent. It's Carrie Tenet, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
And Nick West are going to be on the bill as well. It starts at 7 o'clock. The doors open at 6, and there are no tickets, but maybe Zach might get you in if you wait around and beg at the door.
Dude, he's going to be in such a bad spot. It's going to be hard. Listen, I'll take the heat on this.
No, I mean, I think you just have to make sure that you're in line, you know, for something if you want it. You know what I'm saying?
You know, a cool thing is that I have every single – the last time I did comedy in Juneau, it was a beautiful – not just a beautiful show, but I had such a beautiful time. It's a wonderful to be a visitor here.
Yeah.
And, we already know I'll be back. Like, I'm basically going to come to Ketchikan every year. You know?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and then you got to come to Juneau.
Yeah.
And Zach.
I mean, Juneau. Sorry. I said Ketchikan.
Oh, you mean Juneau. Yeah,
I mean Juneau. But I am also going to come to Ketchikan every year. And I'm in Sitka tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
So. Sitka tomorrow. Yeah. And Zach, remind us, when is the next Jack Laughs? What should we be looking out for? Where do we follow you in terms of figuring out what's next for Jack Laughs?
Juneau Arts Council on Instagram. And
who do you got? Who's your headliner?
Bo Johnson. Thanks
to
you.
Oh, Bo's the best. Go see Bo Johnson. Listen, tickets are sold out tonight, but I bet there's tickets for Bo. There's already tickets for
There's
Bo?
No tickets out yet, but it's going to be
late
September. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think it's September 22nd or 23rd.
Bo, we came up together in comedy, me and this dude, Bo Johnson, and it's funny because, like, I used to sleep under tarps and, like, fight cops and stuff, and Bo's parents are, like, massage therapists, and, like, he couldn't be a more different person than me, but we get along so well.
That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sam, for coming in. Thank you for being here. Zach, as always, it's a pleasure to see you. Thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Boston.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, Ashley Young and Quentin Woman Morgan share some live music, plus a preview of the Symphony's pop concert happening this weekend. We air Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. You can also find live stream archives on our YouTube page. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Lisa Purvis. Gwyneth Cheesh, get out, enjoy some celebration. Go see some dance groups, get down to the Juried Art Show. And don't forget the Toddler Regalia is on Saturday. That's always the best. Have a good one, everybody. Gwyneth Cheesh.